Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride persecutes the poor. Let them be caught in the plots which they have devised. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. His ways are always prospering. Your judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he sneers at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity. He sits in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places he murders the innocent. His eyes are secretly fixed on the helpless. He lies in wait secretly as a lion in his den. He lies in wait to catch the poor. He catches the poor when he draws him into his net. So he crouches, he lies low, that the helpless may fall by his strength. He has said in his heart, God has forgotten. He hides his face. He will never see. Arise, O Lord. O God, lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Why do the wicked renounce God? He has said in his heart, you will not require an account. But you have seen, for you observe trouble and grief, to repay it by your hand. The helpless commits himself to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. Break the arm of the wicked and the evil man. Seek out his wickedness until you find none. The Lord is king forever and ever. The nations have perished out of his land. Lord, you have heard the desire of the humble. You will prepare their hearts. You will cause your ear to hear, to do justice to the fatherless and the oppressed, that the man of the earth may oppress no more. Now, as we continue looking at these words here in Psalm 10, and particularly in verses 3 and 4 this evening, by God's grace, I seek to bring a message in season. But I would ask you at the outset to try and consider, imagine someone who you would think could not be any further from God. Just keep them in mind. It may be someone you know of, you know personally, or someone you don't know but you know of and you've heard of. Keep someone in mind who could not be any further from God. They couldn't be any further from being in total rebellion against God, living a total godless life. The title of the message this evening is this: man couldn't be any further from God. Man couldn't be any further from God. Now, as I looked at these verses over the last few days, as is the case on many occasions, it takes a lot of searching, a lot of prayer to seek the Lord's guidance to draw out to draw out his grace to be seen in the midst of darkness. And yet, I believe we can still see, as we interpret scripture with scripture, we can see that God is not so far away himself that his arm is too short that it cannot save. Even though man has gone so far away from God. We see here in verse 3 of Psalm 10, "For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire." You just need to look around you. Just need to look around you. From the lowest to the highest. Nothing but boasting. And what does man boast of? What do men and women and children boast of? What do they boast of? They boast of those things that God hates. The state of the human heart, for all indeed are included here in the word wicked. Remember, when we see the word wicked in the scripture, it speaks of all who are in Adam, made sinners in Adam. Don't be fooled into interpreting the scripture by the light of man's foolishness, where the word wicked has been altered to mean something else. Here, as the word of God speaks to us, the wicked speaks of all sinners. And the state of each human wicked heart is simply this: deceit. Absolute deceit. Complete deceit. That is why the wicked boasts of his heart's desire. It's full of deceit. It's full of deceit. Each one by nature has a lying heart. You don't need to be reminded yet again that to rely upon your heart, your fleshly heart, is to be led astray. To rely upon your human feelings is to be led awry, to be deceived. Deceived of yourself. For even as believers, we have a fleshly nature which is opposed to that which is born of God. Everyone by nature has a lying heart. Lying to God. Lying to others. And most disastrously, lying to yourself. That's perhaps the most disastrous lie of the lot, when people deceive themselves. Each one of the sons of Adam, that's all humanity, each one of the sons of Adam, the wicked, sinners in God's sight, we read in the word of God, is estranged from the womb. Estranged. Separated. There's a separation from God. Estranged from the womb, coming forth, speaking lies. Not hearing that out of Lambeth Palace, out of the kitchen of Lambeth Palace, are you? These people have a platform. They have nothing to say. They're clouds without water. That's what Jude calls them, clouds without water. Deceitful. Yes, they will say man is essentially good. They have nothing to say. They have nothing to say to man in these days in which we live. And so I must ask the question of everyone gathered here now. I must ask the question once again. Do you believe totally that every little baby and child you see is a little sinner? And I caution you, if you do not, if you believe the devil's lie that they are a little innocent, you have a massive problem. Which is it then? Who will you believe? God or the devil? That's what the devil said to Eve. You will not surely die. Your children will not surely die. All those conceived now will not be made sinners. Which is it? If you do not come down on the side of the truth of God's word here, you don't know the gospel. And you can underline that. If you do not come down on the side of the truth that man is totally, totally lost in sin from conception, if you do not believe the biblical truth of total depravity of everyone, you do not know the gospel and have no understanding nor concept of what it means to be saved and forgiven of sin. That's just plain truth. Because this is the state of everyone. Everyone by nature. A deceitful heart. That is our nature. A deceitful heart which is also rebellious. Totally and utterly rebellious against the Almighty. For secondly, in this state of estrangement from God, man, far from being ashamed of his sin, he raves of it. He glories in it. For the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, says the psalmist here. He boasts of it. Is that not so? Do we not see the fruits of it coming to fruition more and more today? Blatantly. Blatantly. You can't even watch a TV program and see a commercial for Lloyds Bank without seeing abomination before your eyes. When you wonder, what's that got to do with a bank? It's thrust in your face with no shame. Boasted of. Yes, man raves in satisfaction. That's what it means. He raves in satisfaction of those evil things that he does. He raves about it. He boasts about it. As the word says here, the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, the lust of the flesh. As he lives for his own selfish ends, whatever those lusts of the flesh are, whatever they are. the selfish ends that he seeks after, rather than to the glory of God. That is man's state. That is man's state. That is the sorry state of man. And we live in a world where increasingly good is bad and bad is good. That's the yin and yang we live in now. Evil is acceptable. Truth is trodden underfoot. And as we also read here, the wicked blesses the covetous. Blesses the covetous, whom the Lord, as the AV says, abhorreth. Can't stand it. God hates covetousness. God hates greed. And all those things which it causes. Money is not the root of all evil. It's not the root of all evil. People love to misquote scripture. But I tell you this, the scripture says, money, the love of it, the love of money, the desire for it, at every expense, at all expense, the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. See many things which are going on in this world which perplex us, and see, watch the trail, see the trail. As someone once said, it's all about the money, honey. If I can say that. But it is. Just follow the trail of greed. People will do all manner of things of wickedness out of greed and selfish gain. That's not changed in the last 2 months. Don't be fooled in any way. They're just concerned about the stock market, the price of oil, not the price of a soul. He blesses the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. Sinful men and women bless, which means to bow before. To bow before, to praise the greedy. Greed is good. Greed is good. It's praised in this world. You're taught from a young age to seek after it. It's good. Rather than the word of God, which says godliness with contentment is great gain. We won't have that. He praises, he congratulates such as live for gain, coveting, the greedy, such things which God hates and condemns. They're good. The world praises them. But that is the state of the human heart. The state of the human heart. I was only talking to Pastor John Graham the other day on the phone. And it was almost like it's like we've been transported back to 1988. If I could just take you back to 1988, just for a brief moment. If you just bear with me. And I was the other day talking about something or other which was frustrating me about what's going on, whatever. And then he started to say, you're not going to change it, H. You're not going to change it. And I said, hang on a minute, that sounds familiar. Back in 1988, I was sitting after the fellowship meal, and I was unsaved, and the Lord was clearly doing a work in my life, a work of grace in my life. And I was, every time we used to sit down, I used to debate with him about this problem and that problem that in the world, and pontificating about this and that and the other, and he would always bring me back down to the same point. It was like he was just waiting for me to talk and then just bring me back to the same point. You're not going to change your age. You're not going to change the world. Only Jesus Christ changes the hearts of men. That's what I said to him the other day. It's like, and then the years seemed very, very long since those days. But it's exactly the same. It has always been the same. Man congratulates man for that which God hates. Such things which the Almighty hates and condemns. The whole world, which John tells us in 1 John 5, lieth in wickedness. In wickedness. Immersed in it. Promotes as good and acceptable. Promotes it. Lifts it up. As the example to follow. Is this not the case? In this state of rebellion, man continues on having no time for the Almighty. Him with whom we all have to do. Him whom we must all give an account to. Has no time for him. As verse 4 clearly tells us, God is not in all his thoughts. He's not in his thoughts at all. None whatsoever. Some might object, well, there's some people who believe in God. Someone might be listening now and say, well, I believe in God. Some might be object now and say, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, that's not enough. That's not enough. Is it the real Jesus? Is it the real God? Is he in your thoughts? In total submission? Well, he's not in your thoughts whatsoever otherwise. For even the demons believe and tremble. You see, just as God is not in the thoughts of men's hearts and minds, and continues to not be, neither the coronavirus, now get this, because some people go down this line, and they think that something coming to pass, a tragedy, will bring people to God. They never do. Never will do. Neither the coronavirus nor any other tragedy. The tsunami in Southeast Asia, 10 years ago or more? Was there a great repentance in Southeast Asia? None of these tragedies will cause man to look to the Saviour God. Not one of them. Not one of them. That is not the way man will be brought to God. As Romans 3:11 quite rightly says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeks after God. And it remains true today. Why do you think people continue to ignore you when you speak of the Lord Jesus in these times, and you rightly speak of the Lord Jesus? You cannot change them. I wish I could change my family. I wish I could change my family who I sent those tracks to on their smartphones, but they ignored me. I'd like to just get some kind of a response, even if it's antagonism, nothingness. As surely as a corpse cannot move nor communicate with anyone, the natural state of all the wicked sinners is spiritual deadness. But I did promise you hope. Yes, God is not in their thoughts. Yes, they are totally estranged from God. Yes, they prefer darkness to light and praise darkness rather than light. But yet, thirdly, here's the hope. Here's the hope. Such were we, even as the others. The wicked boasts of his heart's desire. He blesses the greedy and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. That was me. And if you know the Lord Jesus, you know that once was you. So here is the hope. Here is the hope. As Ephesians 2 tells us in these familiar words, and you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, the same way as everyone else, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, boasting of it, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. No difference. One difference. One glorious difference. Where sin abounded, did grace much more abound. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. It loosed me from my bonds and set me free. This is the hope, that even as in sovereign grace and mercy the Almighty raised us from the deadness of our souls, giving us in exchange for a heart of stone, a heart of flesh, us who trust the Saviour know he has made us alive spiritually, were once those who had no life, even as the others. And yet this same God has promised he will make alive dead sinners today. As 1 Peter 1:3 says of us, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He will call from among the sons of men, even among these, the wicked who boast of their heart's desire, who renounce God, who have no time for God, who will not think on God, who deny God. He has from among the sons of men, among the wicked, a people that he will call unto himself. That is the wonder of the gospel of sovereign grace. The false gospels of this world have no hope. But our Lord Jesus has other sheep. He has other sheep that are not of this fold, and then they must come. They must come. Yes, among such as have no thought for the true God in their hearts and minds. Yes, there's many, even this day, practicing all manner of religion. All manner of religion. They fast. They fast for a month. Those who fast for a month are in the middle of fasting now. Those from the idolatrous religion of Rome who fasted earlier on this year. And all manner of others. Those who call themselves evangelical Christians who know not the Lord. God has his people. God has his people throughout the four winds. He has his people throughout the whole earth. He has his people throughout the whole of disobedient mankind. He has an elect people. They've been scattered, but they will be called home in the Lord's time. For each one of us who know the Saviour, let's be honest, not a single one of us had any desire, not really, we had not a single desire for God until he shined forth in our hearts. Is that not true? And as the word of God says, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Oh, the Lord Jesus came to me. He came to me and he sought me. He found me. I never found God at any point. My God wasn't lost. He came and he found me. He came and drew me who had no thought for him. Did you really desire or seek after the Lord Jesus before he came and found you? Find me an example. Find me an example in Holy Scripture where that is the case. Oh, but when the Lord Jesus came, when he came and found you, his sheep going astray, he put you upon his back and took you rejoicing. When he sought you, when you were still far off as the prodigal son, he turned you around and caused you to look back toward heaven. And he showered you with kisses and fell upon your neck. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for that could never be." Could never be. You weren't in my thoughts. "'Tis not that I did choose thee, for that could never be. This heart would still refuse thee, hadst thou not chosen me." Thank you, Jesus. But fourthly, what is it that must come to pass? What is it that must come to pass if any are to come before the Almighty, come before the one true God in order to receive salvation? What is it that must come to pass? Well, they must be brought down from the lofty position in their own eyes. Because this is what the word of God speaks of here. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. No proud individual will ever look to God, will ever look to be saved, will never cry out unto the Lord to be saved. No one who is proud. In fact, the Lord resists the proud, we read. But the humble, oh, he receives the humble always. 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 As the word of God says here, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. The countenance, the puffed up nature of sinful man, which will not submit to God. No to God. As we read in Psalm 14. The fool. They've gone astray. Saying no to God. There'd been no fear of God in him. This must be brought to naught. This must be brought low. This must be put down by him who alone can do this. By the conviction of God the Holy Spirit. And he does. Praise God, he does. He's like the wind who goes as he will, and no one can see where he comes from, nor will know where he goes. But such is everyone who's born of God. But the Lord Jesus says he will convict, he will convince the world of sin and of righteousness. Just ask your average neighbour. Ask your friends, ask a family member if they consider themselves to be a sinner. And if you've never asked them, I'll tell you the answer you will get. You will see the response. It shall be a self-righteous no. In one way or another, it will be a self-righteous no. Everyone is right in their own eyes. You will not change anyone, you see. You will not change anyone as surely as you were not for changing. As surely as Margaret Thatcher once said, didn't she? The lady is not for turning. That's us. We were not for turning, were we? We were not for turning until God turned us. Until God came in his almighty power, his omnipotent power, and came and made us willing in the day of his power. No, you will not change anyone from their rebellious ways against God. You will not change any of those who in their high pride of heart think that their religious works make them good. Even religious works supposedly done for Jesus. You will not convince them. You will not change them. Only the preaching of the gospel in the power of God the Holy Spirit, only by this will put God, the true God, the Saviour God, the Lord Jesus Christ into their thoughts. Only then will they look to him for forgiveness of sin. Now at this great time of opportunity, for the Church of Jesus Christ around the world, the only way such ones as are estranged from the Almighty can be brought unto him is by the preaching of the cross. the simplicity of the message preached, the simplicity of Christ. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. Man in his wisdom will not retain God in their thoughts. Just read Romans 1. They knew not God by their own wisdom. And they continue to not know God by their own wisdom. And those people, if they were still alive, who did not listen to the Apostle Paul at Mars Hill in Athens, if they were still living today, those who'd mocked him, they'd still be there, continuing to debate and listen to some new thing, knowing not who God is. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. That which man looks down upon. That which much of the church today looks down upon, by the way. Saying it's not sufficient. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. It always has been and always will be the way. It's God's way. For only God can place himself in the thoughts of man and in the hearts of man. But when he writes his laws upon the hearts and minds of his people, he makes them willing. We must warn the people. We have this role to play. We cannot save them. We cannot convert them. We cannot... certainly cannot bring new birth. But we have this message, and God uses his people. And we are to warn the people to flee from the wrath which is to come. Because God will not be mocked. God is not mocked. And God will call to an account such as indeed refuse to bow the knee to him. Amen.